Yeah, that's right. You gotta shine up real nice for y'all. It's May. Hey, it's gonna be May. And it is May 4th, man. Happy birthday to my Uncle Butch. You know what I'm saying? Hey. I thought I was about to go with the May the 4th thing. Nah, that's y'all thing. I do wrestling. we are excited to be here during May days. Plenty of birthdays that are special, near and dear to our hearts have already happened in this month and more to come. But what's also coming, that's what he said, is wrestling, and talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So please, if you will, grab a seat, grab a drink, or your favorite vice of choice, and get ready, because it's time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I am your podcast intercontinental champion, Care from the Port.
And now you have JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershop Network is the home, so y'all make sure that y'all check us out. Excuse me, right there. Make sure you follow us on. Excuse me. Make sure you follow us.
Real weekends.
Man, make sure you follow us on everything. FBC, DFBC, POD. Make sure you get that merch. You see, Camp got that red on, and that red is still bright. So stop playing with us, man.
And 20 man, washes. Look, you dig.
Hey, shouts out to Banks, because I had posted this video. If you guys listen to Some Dude Pod a couple of weeks ago, I went on a rant on a Some Dude Pod and First Black Champ listener. Shouts out to the big homie Jesse Smith. And he, me.
Oh, you cut out on me, my brother. Totally gone now. Nope, I got nothing. Uh-oh. We are going to get back to that. But, man, hey, look, hope y'all weekend has been well. On the wrestling tip, have you been watching Raw? Have you been watching SmackDown? I know, we know y'all been watching the releases. So, you know, we're going to get into that as well. But, you know, let's talk May days. Man, I was born in May. You know, well, I'm going to kill some time. We're going to talk about May. It's May 1st to May 4th. And, you know, my wife's birthday is coming up. My birthday is coming up. A few of the homies that I work with, a couple of people I don't F with, their birthdays is coming up. Emmett Smith, Ray Lewis, Big Boy from Outkast, Notorious B.I.G., J.R. Bang. I'm trying to think. How many more days are there? There's a lot. But, hey, man, look, tourist season is upon y'all. Banks, what up, man? Appreciate you. Yo, hold on. This is great. He said run some more laps. Them Oklahoma drills against Buddy is going to be a problem. I got to hear about that, because I saw the video just like y'all. I don't know why Bang was looking like Mac on the like when he's getting ready to fight what is it? Soda Popinski, I think it is. I think that's the one where you get the workout and you running in the street. I don't even know why he was doing that. So I got to be filled in on exactly why that was happening. Pause. You dig? So that's going to be interesting. Fun fact, Banks is related to Tuco Scorpio and dressed like him. Hey, straight up. Hey, y'all heating up or just like a real thing? Because I do want to know. Salute, because your family is the man. Like, Tuco Scorpio is that guy to me. So, but if B-Dot trying to heat up, that's also funny. But even though I don't know what you look like at all. But as soon as Bang gets his mic right, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get back to it. B-Dot just like Tommy Rich. Hey, is that the wildfire? Not Wildfire Tommy Rich. Oh, man. That's too funny. Too freaking funny, man. This is going to be a great show, and I promise that. But in the meantime, I do want to say this. I don't know if y'all on TikTok or not. You know, people be doing like the dumbass challenges and what have you, right? But I'm some dude, not to be confused with Bang's other show. he made a montage of Shawn Michaels super kicks and dancing to the to my homegirl, wasn't that Snow Allegra, to her joint. It's fire. I've been watching that much. I watched that much like 20 times because it's actually Super R&B. This is the best one that you'll find out there. Let me see. Hold on. Banks dead ass look like Ernest the Cat Miller. Yo. Oh, man. Okay. My top five NWA workers. Now, is this of any time, any era? Because I think that matters, even though, because I think they do got some great guys in there now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how long you've been tuned into the show, Banks, but Thrill Billy is my guy. Thrill Billy, Trevor Murdoch. And of course, I mean, hey, listen, I was always a fan of a Chris Masters, aka Sexy Jesus. So since we go in any era, let me see. Man, work just for work? Probably. I mean, look, it go out saying you kind of, even though it's AWA, NWA, WCW, you kind of got to go Ric Flair no matter what, right? Let me see.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, there we go. We back at it. Hey, and Banks and me that are going crazy. There we go.
Man, I have no idea what the hell happened and everything. But even forget what I just said. Banks just asked, who are your top five NWA workers?
Dan, yes.
Banks? It's an old ass question. Let me just say that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm like,
I mean, I got it.
I'm not that old. Yeah, and to be fair, I'm technically not that old because because even though
it's like Sting. Yeah. I mean, I see with Sting, Ric Flair, Harley Race,
yeah,
Tully Blanchard, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk.
So that's okay. Now, see, now would it be fair for me to throw like Nikita Koloff in there? Because technically, that's, I mean, even though his he best no moments for me in WCW, but
he wasn't a worker though. He was.
That's true.
He was like Ultimate Warrior light.
That's true. Hey, you know, out of respect, I mean, from the documentaries, I ain't gonna lie, I'll go Magnum TA. Even though that's like, you know, he was super cut short. We spoke very glowingly about Harley Race, so he was definitely gonna make mine. I already mentioned Ric Flair.
Wait a minute, hold on. Banks said we old, that's why. Banks, we will find you. All right, niggas 44 and 43. That ain't old, nigga. Tom Brady still was winning championships.
You know what I'm saying? You know. I mean, yeah, but some people go without saying. I mean, like, for me, my NWA is kind of like my WCW list. So, again, Flair has to make mine. Dusty has to make mine. Barry Windham has to make mine. That's three off the rip. Just because I am, I think we were having an era conversation or something before. I will just put more respect on Harley Race's name. So. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So off the rip, I'll put him. He could probably be like my actual like five, and yeah, and then I'll go Magnum TA. Just a small sample size. He's like for that era, he's kind of like the Notorious B.I.G. of wrestling. Like they were like, oh, he was about to be the greatest in the world, but you know the accident.
So hey, have you been watching the latest episodes of Dark Side of the Ring?
No, and wildly enough, Krista was the one that was asking us to watch it yesterday, but we opted out and went to go see that Mexican OT last night, which was a hilarious and mind-boggling show last night at Skydeck downtown Nashville.
When we was in Atlanta last year, basically they was like, he's like the top Mexican rapper of all time, and I was like, that's saying a lot, or probably not saying a lot, because it's like, who else he got to compete with?
It is. I mean, look, well, we know Lil Rob.
Who?
Is Be Real Mexican or Cuban? Because Ice Cube kind of threw me off with that. I don't know. But listen, Snow the Product. I think Snow the Product has got to be in that conversation as far as Mexican rappers
she
go.
Mexican?
Yeah, believe. I better not do that. I better not make that mistake. I think she is. But needless to say, look, I tell you what, this is what I've never seen. And I've been to some pretty great R&B shows. Never in my life have I seen 10 bras and 3 pair of panties get thrown on a stage at a concert. At a rap concert. One, first of all. Two, while not a love song was playing, his song for the chicks was not playing. But mad bras. It was one that was so big, he wore it and he was covering his whole head. He was like, yo, this shit feel like a helmet. He had mad panties and bras on stage. They was throwing them at Skydeck, Nashville, on Broadway. That Mexican OT, total respect on his name. Total respect.
I mean, I couldn't tell you a song.
Hey, from him. Real talk, I can't either. He's been on like some features on some albums. Like, so I've heard him. Like, he dope. But I haven't listened to a full project. But after last night, definitely will. Definitely will.
Well, yeah. I spent last night hosting an event. Shouts out to Karma. Karma Newman. Shouts out to the cousin-in-law / sister-in-law. I was out here hosting fundraisers and stuff.
That's fire.
Which was dope. But to go back to Banks real quick, like, that's an old ass question. So that's a real old ass question. Next, hey, look, we would have to bring Jonathan Hood onto the show.
But wait,
in order to really answer that question,
for sure. But wait, let's sidebar real quick because Banks also said Tyga, Drake, and YG are the top 3 Mexican rappers. Hey, that's where we're at today. That's where we're at.
Hey, happy 1-year anniversary to Not Like Us.
You know, hey, there you go.
Yeah, it is. Can you look? All right, let me ask a music question before we even, because it's not a lot of wrestling. SmackDown was terrible, so we probably won't say much about SmackDown. But let me ask you a question: is Not Like Us the rap version of Leave the Door Open? When you think of everything that song has done, the awards that it has won, the legs that it has, every time the song is played, somebody is chanting something from it. It's Not Like Us, the Bruno Mars, Anderson .Paak, Leave the Door Open rap version of that.
Man, I was, I'm with you, but now as we analyze that, compare it to another genre, I guess yes, but it's also this era's whoop. There it is. You know what I mean? I don't know because Leave the Door Open was, but that's a really big record though, and that's that did kind of break through. But I don't know. I feel like there's a bigger song that it could be compared to, but I like it though. I like it though.
I mean, at this point, when you perform that at a Super Bowl, it is a huge song.
Yeah.
When I mean, I know Drake is pissed off at some of the things that's being used in the song, but when you look at the Super Bowl and people are chanting that, when you look at the Grammys and people are chanting that, go look at when Leave the Door Open won. And look at how people were, as soon as they got it, I'm gonna leave the door open. Like, I was, we was on the way to the event yesterday, and that's when it popped in my head. Like, when I was listening to the song, start thinking about Not Like Us, and I'm like, 2 great songs. One's not a diss, the other one's not, but 2 great songs. been number one for quite some time.
Yeah.
They've both won. I think they both won Song of the Year. I think. I can't remember if Lead the Door.
Yeah.
I think Lead the Door Open swept everything. Kendrick swept the awards for that, too. The reaction that people get, people sing the song and everything, and they're recent.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. No, I'm rolling. Because I forgot about that. Because matter of fact, Silk Sonic, because technically their album and singles carried over to the next award show. And they was like, nah, we'll chill. Because we probably won all those too. So yeah, no. Facts. 100.
That's all I'm saying, y'all. I know somebody's gonna listen to this pod and be like, what the fuck you talking about, bang?
No, man. They happen.
One's RB, one's RB. And as long as Kendrick Lamar does not have gambling problems, like reportedly, allegedly Bruno Mars has. Like, that's the only thing that we got to, like, before we get to the wrestling, just think about it like this. Mm-hmm. Like, when artists get this big song, and then it's like, what's next? I hope it does not involve drugs.
Yeah.
Because yeah, then, you know, as the come down stuff, because Kendrick can go nowhere but down now.
Sorry, oh, yeah, for sure.
He has nowhere to go but down. He can level down. Like, he could go slow.
Yeah.
You know, but go look at Usher Confessions, and then even though Here I Stand is not a bad album.
Yeah.
Go look at Confessions and then look at Here I Stand. It went down, y'all.
Yeah, for sure. And then after that, we kind of left them high and dry with Raymond versus Raymond and all the other stuff. And it was like, it slaps on every album. It ain't fire, but it
Usher
slaps.
Usher pissed off everybody when he did Oh My God. Like, that's what happens.
Which is wild, which is my shit. That's one of my top five favorite Usher songs.
I can't stand that motherfucker.
I ain't gonna lie. I love it. Hey, listen, I like the Black Eyed Peas, though. So I was, you know, I'm super biased.
I mean, yeah. Look, anytime I hear that shit, I just think, hey, welcome to Zero Gravity.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
Welcome to Zero Gravity. You know, or welcome to Skybox. On the stage is Lexi.
Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Baby, let me love you down. Yeah. Here's my three singles. You know what I mean?
Usher, Oh My God, gets played at strip clubs where you don't take out the breast. That's what.
Yeah. Shout out to Heavenly Bodies. You know what I mean?
Heavenly Bodies.
Heavenly Bodies, Bamboo Room, Voodoo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You had to be there to know. You know what I mean?
You had to be there to know. But you know what? We digress. Let's talk about this wrestling shit. Jey Uso may have an opponent for Backlash.
Yeah.
I really wanted to get Camp's thoughts on this because I had a feeling of this. I think I may have mentioned it. But I definitely had a feeling that the next opponent for Jey Uso was going to be Logan Paul. And damn it, it looks like we might be there. They had a face-off. Dope promo between the two. Celebratory for Jey Uso. Logan Paul came out there. I beat AJ Styles, and now I'm going to be the next world heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
But what are your thoughts on the possibility, the growing possibility, that at Backlash in St. Louis, we're going to see Jey Uso versus Logan Paul for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing, and just being a real thing, is just that now they're really living up to your super intercontinental title labeling of this belt. And I think that off the rip, right? Jey Uso already opened night one of WrestleMania, but he's main event Jey Uso. He wins the belt, and that's a cool moment. I'm not here to defecate on the moment at all. However, now we get the celebration, and to me, what I thought was going to happen was a storyline between him and Sami Zayn, which I was here for.
Yeah.
I was literally here for the, hey, yo, Uso, I'm going to give you the title shot. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you earned this, blah, 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 blah. Even though we've seen the storyline between Cody and Kevin Owens just last year, I wouldn't have mind that. I wouldn't have mind a more. This is going to sound crazy. So let me say it right, because I do think Logan Paul is a serious competitor. I do. So I'm not trying to say it like that, but put Jay in the situation where, I mean, even the next opponent is Finn Balor. Like, put him against somebody like that's just kind of stabled and labeled as being like one of the greats of this era, a former world champion, a person that the crowd thinks is going to be a challenge, but is also beatable. Which, I mean, you do get that with Logan Paul, but for me, I would have rather him just face off against somebody more tenured in the game than Logan Paul. I don't think this is bad. I think this is great for like a Money in the Bank, or if you're doing like one of the other B-tier joints, but I don't want it for this. Lone Star Luchador. Hey, and that makes me go to ER.
I agree. Even though I pretty much had a feeling that it was going to be Logan Paul that was going to be the first opponent because he defeated AJ Styles, I didn't want to see it. And it's nothing against Logan Paul. Actually, it's going in the direction of really celebrating who Logan Paul has become, which is my concern about this too. I think with all of the matches, including that Logan Paul is a former United States champion, I don't think Logan Paul should be the first opponent for Jey Uso to help Jey Uso get over.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be the case.
Yeah.
Finn Balor. Matter of fact, I'm with you on the Finn Balor joint. Like, I think Finn Balor would be a great first opponent for Jey Uso to get in and get out. Just like how when Stone Cold Steve Austin won the championship, Dude Love was. You get somebody that's strong enough, but Dude Love is never going to be the world champion, or at least not right now, but you give him a strong enough name. But I also believe that Logan Paul, and I know I'm going to make a lot of people mad when I say this. You know I'm going to make a lot of people mad.
For real.
Logan Paul is a future world heavyweight champion, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Listen, no.
Heavyweight champion.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Because I'll let you finish cooking with that. But yes, no, I absolutely believe that. It's just wrong for him to be with Jey Uso right now.
That's my point.
I 1,000% agree with you.
Like, that's pretty much my point right there. Logan Paul is a future world heavyweight champion. I don't think that Logan Paul is the first opponent you give Jey Uso, quite honestly, unless Jey Uso about to drop the belt.
There's that. Because in a lot of respects, I kind of feel like Logan Paul should get the world title match and win it on the first shot, even if he only hold it for 4 months.
Right. That's my whole thing. I'm not for sure that you do this unless somebody about to be a transitional champion. And this is not me picking a winner. This is not the program where we pick who's going to win at Backlash in St. Louis, nothing like that. What I'm saying is that Logan Paul is somebody you put in the championship match at Saudi Mania, at Crown Jewel, which Crown Jewel is gonna one of the Crown Jewels is gonna be in Australia actually. Like, that's the match you put Jey Uso in at that pay per view because the people overseas want to see Logan Paul.
Facts.
This might sound bad considering that I spent my first year, my first year at the company I work with. In St. Louis. I rock with St. Louis. I have a number of friends in St. Louis. I get it. If you got Randy Orton versus John Cena at Backlash in St. Louis, you don't need Logan Paul versus Jey Uso. You don't waste Logan Paul versus Jey Uso in St. Louis.
Yeah, man. Because and now we're on the second pay-per-view, the second PLE, where main event Jey Uso is not the main event.
Exactly. What you do to me, what you do in this situation is Finn Balor's like, okay, I lost the Intercontinental Championship match, but let me prove to Dominic Mysterio and the rest of Judgment Day that I am the first Universal Heavyweight Champion. I am still a World Heavyweight Champion quality opponent. And at Backlash, I'm going to get the title shot to prove to you all. And then he win a number one contenders match, and he becomes the number one contender at Backlash.
Yes.
You don't waste Logan Paul in St. Louis.
Yeah. And that adds a layer to the storyline of the Judgment Day, because now if he's going to be the Super Intercontinental Champion next to the Intercontinental Champion, now there's a power struggle within the faction itself. Two stories helped out at the same time.
Bingo. Like, bingo. So, look, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little... Now, mind you, what I also just said is I'm a little worried that they're going to make somebody a transitional champion in this. So, if Triple H were to hear this, Triple H would be like, well, bang, that's the point. Now, I got you wondering if Jey Uso is going to lose the belt as soon as he get that bitch. I'm saying that you can still have that with Finn Balor, because he's going up against not only Finn, he's going up against the whole entire members of Judgment Day.
Yeah.
So, am I tripping?
No, I don't think so at all. Because, shoot, the only match I remember Logan Paul losing off top is to Roman Reigns. So, that's the only memorable loss I remember. So, yeah, this do look like, damn, you about to hold this month for 3 weeks?
Like, you gon' it does give me that, hey, yo, we gon' this what it gives me. Hey, man, what we gonna do is this. We gonna give you the belt at WrestleMania, but you gonna drop it to Logan Paul. Logan Paul is going to shock the world, but then you're gonna get it back from Logan Paul and make you real quick a two-time World Heavyweight Champion, a.k.a. two-time Super Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I like the story if there was just better competitors, because unfortunately, Jey Uso, and this ain't even about him being a former tag team wrestler at this point. Let's just wash that on up. That's not it. We went from right hand man to main event to leaving the bloodline to, you know, the short intercontinental title run to now this. I think Jey, as a standalone act, that there are some people, like, if you've been watching wrestling the last 2 to 3 years, literally, if you've been watching during the Roman Reigns era, you probably know Jey Uso to be a singles competitor. Fault that. I just think that those championship nuances and those championship things, I don't think he's had a chance to really get in the groove of that yet. And this is the wrong opponent to solidify that he's quote unquote ready for that. So where Logan Paul already looks like he is, that's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign.
About it too. Just the other piece about it, too, for a mean segue. If Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, and Paul Heyman are both on Raw, one or two things need to happen. A draft needs to happen right now so you can go ahead and switch these things up. Or Seth Rollins need to be going up against Jey Uso to get the belt.
That is my guarantee. my guarantee for this week is Seth Rollins versus Jey Uso at SummerSlam for the title. I'm picking SummerSlam because that is going to be his main event. And unfortunately, when he's finally the main event, he drops the ball. And somehow, some way, this is going to get Roman Reigns back in this story. Because now the story becomes, you know, because also Roman Reigns has never beat Seth Rollins. So I do think this is a long dance to get to Seth Rollins versus Jey Uso for the world title at SummerSlam. Now putting Roman Reigns back in the story. What is Roman Reigns known for doing at SummerSlam? Winning world titles. So, so all of this is I think is one big collage to really get that story, the Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins story, back in swing. They just gonna slow walk the dog a little bit.
Oh man,
Ross, what up?
You was early with it. You was early with it. I was trying to wait down the line to give that guarantee. I was trying to wait till the summer solstice hit.
True.
I was trying to wait. But if we go in there, yeah, we're going to use that as our guarantee today. Yeah. Seth Rollins versus Jey Uso at SummerSlam in New York. And Roman Reigns makes his appearance. But my difference is that Roman Reigns is going to ensure that Jey Uso stays the champion.
I like that. Hey, and Bloodline, New York City, number one Bloodline market. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Remember that first Tribal Chief run, he got booed in every city until he got them MSG.
Yeah. I feel like I get what they're trying to do. Don't get me wrong. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep them separated. I feel you. I also believe that the better storyline would have been, I mean, if we're not going to do Finn, and the only reason why I said Finn is because what they're doing with Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, it definitely would have been Jey Uso versus Sami Zayn. Because if y'all remember, I said Sami Zayn should have been picked to go up against Randy Orton.
Yep. Yeah.
That should have been Randy Orton's opponent. And basically hit us with the Kevin was right shit. And look what y'all did to Kevin. Look what I did to Kevin. I allowed my best friend to get his ass beat and his neck broke. And now I feel bad for it. Now I'm about to go crazy on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can still happen. Here's the fucked up thing. I think it can still happen. What I think you've run, though, what I think you do is you run the risk of having two storylines going on at the same time. That's massive. But one of those storylines is going to overshadow the Super Intercontinental Championship.
Mm.
What I mean by that is you get Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, excuse me, and then you get a tweaked Sami Zayn who's now pissed off at the world because now I got my ass whooped. Jey, you wasn't over there to help me. Now I'm going to make sure that I make your life a living hell because now I'm going crazy with the fact that my best friend is out for a while. We don't know when he's coming back, if not ever. And then my other best friend, the one I be doing this little handshaking shit with, don't never be there when I get my ass beat, but I'm always there for him to make sure that he don't get his ass beat.
Which was a very fun segment.
Right. And at the same time, you got Sami Zayn that's talking about, I will be a world heavyweight champion. Well, you're not going to be the undisputed heavyweight champion, my guy. You're going to be the Super Intercontinental Champion. If that were to happen. So who would that happen with if that were to happen? It would be Jey Uso versus Sami Zayn. I think you run the risk of that. But then again, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns will overshadow that. So you have a situation where you would have a, let's say, Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, SummerSlam, ladder match type of situation when Bret Hart's the champ, but we don't really give a shit. Because we got these other storylines that's going on. I don't want Jey Uso to get in. Basically, simply put, I don't want Jey Uso to get into a situation where he's always infused as being overshadowed by somebody else.
Glad you said that. And you know what I think Jey Uso needs to stop doing? Stop quieting the crowd during his promos. Because I don't know. everything within the last 2 weeks leading into WrestleMania. Let me say it right. Everything leading up to the last 2 weeks into WrestleMania and then the week after. Like, dude, Jey Uso got to realize that the crowd is the reason why he's in the position that he's in. And if you're not doing the 50 Uso with him, and if you not, and if you tell them to quiet down doing your promos, unfortunately, that is going to be to your detriment. Because now, when they're not amped up and they're not just doing the improper call and response, it's going to make him look weaker. Like, listen, there's two times in Steve Austin's life where he was the hottest thing moving, and specifically the WWE. One, when Austin 316 was first born, and then two, when he started the what shit. And this is Jay's what. But he needs to let the crowd kill it. Russ, to your point, yes, he probably needed to ease off the yeet, but the yeet has become bigger than him. Like, just much like the yes became bigger than Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan was smart enough to be like, no, let them cook. Because this is why I'm getting in the third hour of the show versus, or the first hour of the show and not the second hour of the show. But that's just how this is going to go for Jay. So, because, I mean, I'll be real. As a champ, I am underwhelmed by all of his promos. I've been underwhelmed for a minute. So Jay needs to work with the crowd that's really keeping him afloat here until he really get in a better groove of this.
Asking Jay Uso to ease off of the yeet is like asking me to ease off of getting money. But like, not eating off of the yeet.
Yeah,
I get the most merch sold at these joints. No, I'm yeeting my ass off, fam. Yeet.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm gonna have yeet shoes, yeet shirts, yeet joggers, yeet jeans, yeet Scullies, yeet caps,
yeet dog fits, tags,
dog tags,
socks.
I'm yeeting all over this motherfucker. Like, did we tell the ultimate story, ultimate word to ease off the ropes? God damn it, no, we didn't. Did we tell Hulk Hogan is this? Like, nah. And the crowd controls it. He controls it with the crowd. He got, that's what he's supposed. It is call to action. I'm not easing off of that. The yeet is not for us, ladies and gentlemen. The yeet is for the kids. Like, yeet is for the kids. It sounds
for sure
totally bad how all of this was said.
Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
What I think Jey Uso needs to do, and it's gonna take some time. What Jey Uso needs to do, in my opinion, is bring some of that Uso penitentiary to yeet.
Yes, because those are still his best promos to this day. Those are still the best ones.
Those are his best promos. At the same time, you can't tell him to stop yeeting when yeeting is bringing you the bread.
Yeah,
like that is the cash cow here. So I disagree with that. And the only reason why I disagree with it is because, again, that's where the money is at. With that being said, if he brings some Uso penitentiary up in that joint, that's cool. And again, that's why I don't think Logan Paul is the best first opponent for him.
Yeah.
Because you know what Logan Paul is made for? He's made for that. He's a social, they all say he's the social media megastar. Boom, 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 boom. What is, that's what that's made for.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
And some might say, well, that's what Gunther is for, but not when you, again, we knew Gunther was losing that belt.
Yeah.
Jey Uso needs a final boss or a semi-boss type character.
Mm-hmm.
Jey Uso needs a Sagat. Jey Uso needs a Goro. Jey Uso needs that semi-boss, not a final boss, but that semi-boss that actually make you go, not only Jey Uso might lose the belt, he might get hurt. Mm. Like, Jey Uso needs a situation where you got Adrian at the top of the stairs and Jey Uso like, yo, I'm about to go wrestle insert person here. And then Adrian say, you can win. That's what Jey Uso needs for us to be like, you know what? We really feel this. Every champion needs that. When Stone Cold wrestled Dude Love, did we really think that Stone Cold was going to lose to Dude Love? He was not going to lose to the final offshoot character of goddamn Mick Foley.
Yeah, nah.
It wasn't.
It was a cool story, though, you know?
But when they said, we got Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Kane in a First Blood match, we was like, oh. How the fuck they gonna tell Kane bleeding?
Right.
He gonna lose this motherfucker. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's all in the matchup. It's like, as soon as he's like, wait, but he doesn't even, wait, if he started bleeding, we wouldn't see it.
We wouldn't see it.
Like, he got to cut his arm.
Like, we wouldn't see it. So that's my whole thing with the Jey Uso thing. But let's go ahead and move on to Sami Zayn. Boy, Sami Zayn could take a beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One thing we know about Samuel Zayn, I'm going to just start calling him Samuel Zayn. One thing that Samuel Zayn could do, that man could take a beating. He could. Yeah. Look, here's one of the reasons why I had said last year that I think Sami Zayn to be a world champion this year. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I said it the year before as well. I don't think there's nobody, and I'm saying this with Cody Rhodes being in the WWE.
Okay.
I don't think there's a wrestler in the WWE that could give you a promo that pull at your heart and you really believe it.
Mm, yeah.
Like Sami Zayn. I don't feel like Cody be trying to do that shit, but yeah. Motherfucker, you Cody Rhodes. Like, your dad is Dusty. We don't want to hear this shit.
Right.
But Sami Zayn is the only wrestler currently right now in the WWE that gives that same as, man, I want to be somebody. I'm going to do it promo. And we believe it. And we be hurt when it don't happen. That shit's been happening since NXT.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when he finally, like, when he lost to Cesaro and when he lost to all of these other people and everybody was saying that you could never win the big one. And he finally won the big one and then Kevin Owens was like, oh, about to beat your ass and take your belt, best friend. He continues to do that. So in this case, Seth Rollins, who's supposed to be his homie, like, now you got a new, even though, yeah, of course, ROH and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you got Sami Zayn that's talking to Seth Rollins like, come on, man. You the homie, fam. You don't need to be doing this. And Seth Rollins is like, I feel you, fam, but I'm about to take this shit over, and I'm going to fuck your ass up if you don't go to SmackDown. But I want you to go to SmackDown because I don't want to fuck you up because you the homie. Like, you my man. Right. You my ace. Man. So go on there and go over there.
Hey, but what's wild, the other part was, because it seemed like you don't want me to win. So look, right. Like, it seemed like you don't want me to start winning out here and doing my thing. So you better get out the way.
I'm trying to be nice, fam. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be cordial about this shit, and I fuck with you. You in my way. I don't even know why you in my way. But I got Bron Breakker over there, and I won't do it. He will.
You know?
I've never seen an impassionate promo to not go to another show in my life. Like, Sami Zayn gave a promo like SmackDown is the worst place on earth when you think about it. Like, I ain't going over there.
Right. It's like, you got hot over there. What you mean you ain't going back?
Right. Like, you don't want to go to SmackDown? What the fuck? Like, I ain't tell you to go to NXT. I told you, hey, man, I don't want you to get your ass whooped, so just go ahead and go over there. And Sami Zayn basically gave the Macho, the Ultimate Warrior promo when Sensational Sherry was like, yo, I want Macho Man to get a title match. Hell no.
No.
So just like Macho Man hit the Ultimate Warrior upside the head with that scepter, thus making him lose the belt, Bron Baker beat the shit out of Sami Zayn. So my question to you is, like, what is it going to take for Sami Zayn not to get his ass kicked? Like, when do we get to the point where Sami Zayn is not nobody's punching bag?
Man, unfortunately, never. Right? Because there is, you know what? I shouldn't say never at full scale, right? Because what's going to happen with Sami Zayn is that he's got to become Kevin Owens. And when I say become Kevin Owens, he literally has to do what Kevin Owens always did to him, but he has to do it to Jey Uso. He's got to do it to Cody Rhodes. He's got to do it to Seth Rollins. Like, that's what's going to turn the tide here. And fortunately enough for Sami Zayn at this time, the best person to do it to is Jey Uso, because he's already the main event that's not really the main event, right? He's also the champ in waiting. He's the homie. He's the homie that originally did not like you. and like, you know, but when his cousin flipped on you, he helped you out. And now that he's the champ and he beat you to it, technically, you should have been a world champ way before Jey Uso should have been a world champ. But now here you go. And so now you're watching Seth, Cody, Jay, and even Kevin Owens. All your homies got world titles and you ain't got one. But what's the one difference between all of them and all of you? They was willing to beat your ass to get that title. So literally, turnabout has to be fair play. And Sami Zayn needs to start beating one of his friends' asses so he can get a title shot.
I didn't realize that. You got a point. All the Sami Zayn homies whooped his ass to get to where they need to get. He the only one that's just like,
yeah, hey, me. Just, like, you're my dog. You're my bro. Like, yeah, all right, we get it. We'll be cool after this.
Yeah. I feel bad what I'm about to say, man, but I'm tired of them making me feel like Sami Zayn, one of them Make-A-Wish kids that visits John Cena before matches and shit. I am tired of it. I ain't gonna front. And when you see the way that Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins whooped that boy ass,
man,
there's not even. Look, we knew he had a chance when it came to him versus Gunther. We knew he had a chance. We know he ain't got no goddamn chance, no chance whatsoever going up against Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker. Now,
yeah,
and ain't nobody gonna come to help him.
Yeah.
If Kevin Owens ain't there, and Jey Uso ain't ran out to the ring to be like, hey, like, I'm gonna help you.
Yeah.
Who gonna help out Sami Zayn? Who? Who? Rusev?
Man, yeah.
Nah, the Redeemer?
Hey, listen. Hey, when Jey Uso seen the backstage and said, you gotta do what's best for you. I was like, oh, so y'all not cool. And to me, hey, don't ever let me be in the jam.
Right.
I see the homie, and he was like, hey, man, well, you know, you got to do what's best for you. Nigga, you the champ. What you talking about?
Man's.
You better, right, you the champ, and you my homie. It's like, bro, if you don't call Adam Pearce,
right.
Like, if you ain't going to swing on nobody, at least call Adam Pearce, please.
Yeah, tell him to stop, please. Like, tell him to stop. Like, tell Adam, tell Nick Aldis to come out here. Like, no, we don't want that nigga over here. Like, Nick Aldis was there. Seth Rollins was like, yo, I could go talk to Nick Aldis right now.
Yeah, hey, you got to give him the flight with him.
Yeah, like, how he getting back? Ride with him. Ride with him. It's cool, ride with him. Sami Zayn said, no, and got his ass beat.
You're threatening me.
Right, so now in St. Louis, we got to look at Seth Rollins versus Sami Zayn and know what the outcome going to be.
Oh, man, yeah.
They know what the outcome going to be. And I feel like the outcome is going to be so bad that we don't see Sami Zayn until SummerSlam.
So here's my diet guarantee.
Your Coke Zero
guarantee. Yeah, yeah. My Coke Zero guarantee is Sami Zayn get his ass beat so bad that he ain't got no choice but to jump down. And he's now the third member. Like, Seth Rollins, Rob Breaker's gonna start kicking his ass again.
What you want me to do?
And Seth is like, it don't have to be this way. Just jump down. You jump down with Roman. Like, you jump down with Kevin Owens. What you mean you can't jump down with me? I never wanted to do this to you. You're right.
He was like, homie.
Like, the last 20 years, I have not beat your ass.
So basically, Sami Zayn is that dude that get jumped by the gang so much that he just joined the gang. Say, fuck it.
Yeah. Hey, this little nigga got heart.
I'm about to shave my face. Yeah. I'm about to shave my face. Now I'm about to start looking like NXT Sami Zayn and shit. I'm going to start wearing suits down to the ring and shit like these two. Like, I'm tired, man. Let's get down to lay down. I'm just going to get down. Hey. That's it for me.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's, hey, and that still kind of falls onto my first story because, hey, June, Sami Zayn versus Jey Uso. Go get the belt. You want to be the future of the business? I told you the future of the business run through me. The immediate future could be you with the world title. You got a match against Jey Uso in June. And like, then he could always be like, yo, he wished you good luck when I was on your ass. Like, what you mean you don't want to fight him for the title?
So let me ask you this question. And I don't know if anybody has done this. And if so, this is a part of wrestling that I've missed. But considering how I started this segment, is it more powerful for Seth Rollins to say, look, Brawny need this motherfucking belt. I'm the top dog over here, but I can make sure you get it. Slide on over here. Be with us.
Hey. I like that because, shoot, who has the most memorable world title run for the new belt? Seth Rollins. Like, yo, that's, he could be like, yo, that's my belt. I decide who get it and who don't. I can take it from whoever I want.
I don't even want it right now.
Yeah. He's like, I'll get it when I need it. It's cool.
Yeah.
Hey.
Paul, don't even worry about it.
You know, and that does actually help his story line out even more. He was like, the future of the business runs through me. And if his issue with CM Punk and Roman Reigns was like, no, they wanted it all for themselves. Yeah, the greatest thing that could be done to get other people over and get yourself over at the same time and give a different storyline from a different angle is to literally help all your people be the world champ. That's actually pretty brilliant. And to save him some wear and tear.
So I'm glad that you said that. Because while that's not a guarantee, that's actually a guarantee hope. Based off of what Seth Rollins said on Raw this Monday, I really truly hope that Seth Rollins be like, I don't even need that belt Jey Uso got. I could get that belt anytime I want to. I just took out his cousin. It ain't nothing for me to take dude out. Keep that belt.
Yeah.
I know they'll never do it because if y'all got me calling this belt the Super Intercontinental Championship, then what happens when Seth Rollins say, I don't even want that bitch?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But with that being said, when we talked about the Dangerous Alliance last week,
yeah,
and talked about who could be in it, that's why I would love Bron Breakker to take that belt from Jey Uso or Sami Zayn within that group. And then who's the Intercontinental Champion? Dominic Mysterio? Hey, fam, you cool and all, but we need that bitch too.
Yeah.
Who's the Tag Team Champions? The New Day? First of all, I'm going to keep saying this. The New Day should never be heel. Don't believe them. Didn't believe them when Xavier Woods and Kofi was on commentary. I don't believe that shit. Like, I believe y'all bad guys like I believe in Santa Claus. Like, I'm sorry, Kofi, you're just not a believable bad guy to me.
Yeah.
You're like the nicest black man in the world.
Thanks.
Very
and
nice.
And respect, too.
Right. If Kofi Kingston was a slimy heel, then it'd be one thing. But Kofi Kingston is trying to make himself as a dastardly heel. He's trying to make himself look mean. Nah, fam. Kofi, I fucks with you heavy, man. You don't need to be a GD. Like, Kofi Kingston is acting like the GD that don't need to be a GD at all. You just out here just doing shit. And your mama telling you to get your motherfucking ass in the house. You're like, man, I can't even go to the meeting, fam. I can't even go to the meeting, fam. Because my mom told me, what the fuck you a GD for? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, anytime Kofi Kingston talk, like, act like a heel, I just feel like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm here. Like,
oh, man.
There's something to do. Like you joined the gang for what, Kofi? Stop bullshit. But that's why there needs to be a heel tag team. There needs to be a heel intercontinental champion. There needs to be a heel world champion. And Seth Rollins is not a manager. He's not J.J. Dillon. He's not Ole Anderson. No. Nigga, I'm Ric Flair. I'm just showing you how Ric Flair I am. Man, imagine if Ric Flair would have said, yo, let's go early in the campaign. What if Ric Flair would have said in like 1989, man, I'm a 7-time world champion. I don't even give a fuck about this shit no more. Y'all had this little shit. I want these big money fights. What if Seth Rollins pulled the trigger like Floyd Mayweather? I don't need this belt. I fight who I want to fight. I don't want to fight you. My mans is the champ. Matter of fact, beat me for a chance to fight for him. Fight for the title. Like, just throwing this out there, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't a bang be knowing type of storyline or whatever. This is just some honest shit. What if Seth Rollins were to say, man, I'm bigger than this belt, but at the same time, if you want to fight Bron Breakker for the world championship, you got to beat me to get to him.
Dang. Raises the value.
Right, and ain't none of y'all beating me, so what the fuck is we talking about? We going to be the champs for heaven, this bitch. You want to fight the Street Profits for the tag team championships? Bet. You got to wrestle me and Bron Breakker. You can't beat me and Bron Breakker. You can't wrestle my mans. Like,
that'd be fire.
I would love that. Like, yeah. I would love that. I am so over. Like, imagine Jake the Snake Roberts saying, I'm so over. Like, and like he said in the documentary, I'm so over, I didn't need the world championship.
Yeah.
Imagine Jake the Snake Roberts doing a promo and they're like, oh, so you're going to face the Immortal Hulk Hogan? Why? to get that belt? To carry that belt around? To be the hunted? Nah. I'm more comfortable in being the hunter. I'm more comfortable in going after everybody else and showing everybody that I'm better than them. So if I do wrestle Hulk Hogan, yeah, I'll take his little belt. I'll take that little shit. But when I win that belt, what does that belt mean to me? It means nothing. It makes me become a false idol, and I'm not that. I'm the greatest thing that you've ever seen in your life. Like, I would mark out for that. If somebody were to say, fuck that little shit. Especially the Super Intercontinental Championship. Hey, let's move on. I want to bring up our segment that we've been doing here. Let me go get the music. I got to go ahead and play this music with it. Because I feel like that this person has been a staple in the joint that we affectionately call Do We Care. So let me go ahead and break out this music.
Hey.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Hey. Would this Outrun 4?
Perfect. Yeah, probably. And I think this music is perfect about who we're about to talk about. Because this person had a special tag team partner that got more of a pop than she did, and nobody cared about that little bird shit she was doing.
Yeah.
We're talking about Lyra Valkyra.
Yeah, man.
Lyra Vaquera is entering a program with Becky Lynch. The same Becky Lynch that she was wrestling back and forth, title from, got the respect. Becky Lynch is back. Becky Lynch and her won the tag team titles at WrestleMania. Dropped it the next night because Lyra got pinned. Lyra got her ass whooped. Becky Lynch came on Raw and said, "Hey, man, we ain't got to do that little storyline shit. I beat up Bayley. Fucked Bayley up. It was me."
Okay.
And Lyra's talking about some she wants some respect and all this shit. Boom, boom, boom. So Becky's about to be the new Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
But Ken, do we care?
No, overall, we do not care. And don't get me wrong, y'all. Especially after Monday Night Raw, for some reason, Lyra, fire to me now. Like, she's super fire.
Yeah.
My gosh. However, that segment, that promo, that wasn't it. That ain't it. To quote Charlamagne the God, nah, that ain't it. And unfortunately, Becky Lynch is over no matter what she does in this situation. That just goes to show you that we don't care.
Is Stephanie Van Queer the next up?
It looks like it. It sure does look like it. And really right now, there's no reason for her not to be. But we care.
Yo, I care a lot. She's over.
Yeah,
and super. You know one of the reasons why I think she's over?
Yeah.
Low-key Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair started doing that move, and folks was like, man, get the fuck up out of here.
Ah, yeah,
they saw
Stephanie
doing this shit with a little bit more meat.
Yeah, because you need the meat.
You need the meat. So when the thighs match, match the ass, fly.
Yeah.
Hey, do that.
You know what I'm saying?
Do that.
Keep the Oscar Myers to yourself, Charlotte. Sorry, sweetie.
Hey, man. Chico, go ahead and stop playing right now. All right, now we back, man. Let's go ahead and get into the big story that happened over the last couple of days. Releases in the WWE.
Yes.
Always expected for releases to happen sometime after WrestleMania, and this year is no exception. A number of people were released. I'm going to start with the NXT names because some of these names you know, some of these names you don't know.
Yeah.
Javier Bernal was released. Gallus, which is Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, the brothers, and Wolfgang. But I already know you don't fuck with European wrestlers. So,
hey.
Don't fuck about them.
Hey, and neither do Shawn Michaels.
There you go. Gigi Dolin was released, which for a lot of us were a little bit disappointed
from
level. Jakara Jackson was released.
Yeah. That was pretty wild.
That made me question that thing Shawn Michaels got going on.
Yeah. Gigi, I won't front. Gigi was a little bit expected because after they broke up the team, nothing has really, and Mandy Rose and all of that. So now this is what, 2 or 3 years in the making. They just weren't doing enough or anything with her at one point. So I was kind of like, damn, they probably going future endeavor homegirl, but I don't know if that was the best decision. Jakara Jackson now, on the other hand, I was like I thought that they thought that she was great or doing well or had a promising future. I don't understand why that, but that happened for a couple reasons, but yeah, I don't know. I guess with every release lineup, there has to be a couple of those. Damn, them? Why? So
yeah. The metaphor did break up on last episode of NXT. But definitely didn't foresee what happened after that happened. Core Jade. Let me go back. Oro Mensa, who was also part of Metaphor, was released as well. So the only two remaining members of Metaphor that's in the WWE right now is Lash Legend and Norm Dar.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, man, there's a possibility of a tag team type of run with Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend. But hey, maybe they seem to believe that what Russ just said, that Lash Legend, I almost said Lash LaRue, goddamn WCW, the Cage, the Raging Cajun, the Raging Cajun, but maybe they believe that Lash Legend is the star of the group. Core Jade was released. Core Jade just came back after a knee injury. Yeah. So there's that right there. Eddie Thorpe, who was just in the program for the NXT World Championship. Danny Palmer, who stays getting injured a little bit, but she was on NXT and WWE Evolved. She's released. And it is rumored that Luca Cristofino, who was a part of the Italian faction that's going on in NXT, he's reportedly released as well. WWE releases, so Shotzi Blackheart, who did do a promo, and when she did her promo and she put it on social, I was like, yo, I think she's about to get Future Endeavor. In fact, when I saw her promo, I had said, yo, I think Shotzi and a couple of people were about to get Future Endeavored. Mm. And I was right. They moved Shotzi Blackheart's profile to the alumni section in the WWE. No official word from what I see on her release. But Katana Chance and Caden Carter, they were released. Braun Strowman was released. Dakota Kai and Shayna Baszler was released as well. Let's talk about these main roster releases. Mm-hmm. Which one of these shock you the most?
Shocking the most? If I have to pick a shock the most, I guess it's Braun Strowman, because they were actually using him like pretty frequently. Even though Carter and Homegirl, I mean, they'd use them too. I guess, man, you know what? Maybe it's just we need to stop looking at like the one-offs or being seen on SmackDown even as a reason. Because, hey, look, Shayna Baszler was definitely getting released when all of their push and promo was coming from Mia Yim's Twitter. Like, I knew that was a matter of time. And she didn't seem to be too happy with everything about a month ago when she was...
I knew Shayna Baszler was getting released when she started wrestling like she just got out the bed. Yes. Like, Shayna Baszler started coming to the ring looking like she had just got out the bed. She had no standout gear.
Yeah.
She wasn't wearing the Queen of Hearts shit no more. Like, Shayna Baszler was coming down to the ring with the lesbian wife beater and jogging pants.
Yeah. So, like, I really want to know, like, now we need that Rivals episode of her and Ronda Rousey and what was talked about and what happened after that. Like, I need to know.
Shayna Baszler was wrestling like she had the strap on underneath them jogging pants she was wrestling in.
Yo. Oh, man.
I knew it was. I think it was the Royal Rumble when she came out, and I was like,
yeah.
She lost her luggage?
Yeah.
So this was a matter of time for me.
Yeah. Dakota Kai, it's disappointing, but I can't act like it's super shocking because, unfortunately, she's been working through a lot of injuries. And that's just kind of the double-edged sword of it. And I know,
she helped you too.
Yeah, and not for nothing. Once she couldn't get the title off Homegirl, that's not over. It's just like, oh, well, what are we doing here? Because all things considered, there were two names. There were three names of people that were like, oh, they should be the first Intercontinental Champion. And they were Bayley, they were Natty, and it was Dakota Kai, and none of them got the belt. So I'm just like, well, that's not a good sign, because the crowd, the IWC, everybody is telling y'all who to put this belt on so they'll care about it, and you're not going to do that. And now, you know, Dakota Kai is looking ambiguous, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sure she'll land on her feet. But yeah, I guess that, I mean, Braun Strowman, out of those, would be the, I guess, the biggest shock, because he was responsible for getting the most people over. I mean, look, Jacob Fatu, Braun Breaker, who was the other match that he had? Damian Priest. Like, there was quite a few moments in the last like 8 months where Braun Strowman was the match to get that guy over from the strength, the endurance, the tough guy moment, all of that. So,
look, man, let me go down this list. I'm very disappointed at Shotzi Blackheart being released because I am a Shotzi Blackheart fan. For more than one reason. Definitely a lot of freaky time there. Kayden and Katana, I thought they should have been released. Nothing against those young ladies.
Yeah.
I just don't see them as like, I can expect to see them at AEW ROH and being real, like, on point. Like, that's why I expect to see them two go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'd be dope. Just didn't see, like, the character that they have. And then plus, was it, Katana Chan, she's just too small. She needed some, like, she need to take some creatine and some to eat. Anytime I saw her wrestle, I used to be scared that she hurt herself.
She's tiny.
Yeah, she's tiny as hell, fam. She, but Ricochet over there, too. So, I don't know if she should go to AEW. Maybe she should go to TNA.
Hey, man.
Braun Strowman. I knew Braun Strowman was going to get Future Endeavor when he told Jacob Fatu, hey, man, you just have to fucking kill me. It's time you go. And to be real, fam, I know we talk a lot of shit about the Big Show, but I fuck with the Big Show. I just think character-wise, they turned Big Show into a bitch.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think Big Show will tell you, like, yeah, they turned me into a bitch. I ain't like that shit. I'm 7 foot, 500 pounds. And I'm not a fat 500 pounds either.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? Braun Strowman might be the least respected big man in WWE history. I see The Undertaker showing Adam Shear more love. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. I see The Undertaker getting Omos more love than Adam Shear, Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
That one clip where he was like, man, Braun got to play the role. He can't be on Instagram with the short shorts.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it for me. That was it. Yeah. Why are you here? Why are you here?
Hey, and not for nothing, he got in Future Endeavor around that time, too.
So when they brought him back, I was shocked. When they brought Braun Breaker back, I was like, why? Undertaker don't like him. Yeah. Like, literally, if you look at every big man in the WWE, I always say I want to do the Undertaker like him or not. Because if the Undertaker don't like you, you're probably not going to be here.
Yeah.
So, man, that's my whole thing. Like, Undertaker wasn't fucking with dude. Undertaker said dude wasn't going to listen. Braun Breaker's best moment is when he tried to kill Roman Reigns. He's been a bitch ever since. But they made the Big Show like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened. Maybe when Braun Strowman got punched by Brock Lesnar, that was the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that was the case.
Realest moment in wrestling of this decade, by the way. Was it this or was that 2019?
It was 2019, I believe it was. But
yeah,
he was released that I was least shocked about. It was like, oh, Braun Breaker gonna be in this list. hey man, either Braun Breaker gonna be in this list or he needs to be in this list. That's exactly what I thought. Again, Shayna Baszler, I was not surprised at her release because at Royal Rumble, it looked like she lost her baggage. I am shocked that Dakota Kai was released. I am shocked. She's a fan favorite. She was a lot of people's pick to win that Intercontinental Championship. In fact, a lot of people hoped that she won that Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
it shows me what they're doing with EO Sky, and they're just separating not only that group, but all of the Asian women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they are, though. Which is good, though, because it just doesn't look a little wild and they all just clicking up.
Yeah, but yeah, when Dakota Kai was on that list, all I said was, damn, that's why her hair curly.
Yeah, I ain't gotta hide no more, I guess.
Like, I mean, she is half Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
She is from the land down under, but I'm not going to straighten my hair to go to catering.
Ah, yeah, so there we go.
I'm going to go ahead and curl it up. And then next thing you know, she's released. But yeah, she's the one that shocked me. She was a good hand, a dope wrestler, nice move set, great character to me. Mm-hmm. I was shocked that she was let go. But then here's the but, because I hear the internet wrestling community always like, I can't believe they released all those people. It just means to me that they high on the number of people that they're calling up.
Yeah.
They're high on Julia. They're high on Stephanie Van Queer. They're high on Roxanne Perez. They're high on Lash Legend. When you look at the women that got released, they're gonna be replaced. And when it comes to the women's division, they're Trump tight over there.
Yeah.
They're good there. So I'm not shocked and surprised. Like, when I step back, though, I'm not shocked and surprised that Dakota Kai, Shotzi, Caden Carter, Katana Chance, Danny Palmer, Cora Jay, Jakara Jackson, Gigi Dolan. I'm not surprised at the fact that they got cut. When you look at some of the women that look to be called up, Julia, Roxanne Perez, Stephanie Van Queer, when you look at those women right there, like, those are your go-tos. Those are your P1s. Those are your aces. Those are the ones that you specifically look to and be like, yo, this is the future of our company.
Yeah.
When you look at NXT, outside of the women I just named, you got Jasmine Nix, you got Izzy Dane, you got JC Jane, you got Fallon Henley, you got Carmen Petrovic, you got Kalani Jordan, and to me, you have the future Lash Legend, and to me, you have the future women's champion in NXT, which is Jada Parker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, hey. Which I think the world is waiting on.
Yeah.
Like, specifically like her. Yeah, no, I'm not. No, I get what you're saying. Especially the Dakota Kai thing, because I meant to say this earlier. She has one of my best War Games moments of the revamped War Games.
Yes. Yes, she does.
You know what I'm saying? She's like in the top three, not three either. So.
So yeah, I was surprised, but when you look at the women, Sol Ruka is the women's North America champion, the Nubian queen herself.
Yeah.
You just signed Zarya. Like, nah, Thea Hale. I'm not shocked and surprised about the women that were released because of the women that I named.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it a buck, I'm shocked that... And this might sound real bad, and I hope nothing happens. I hope she keeps the job. But there's a couple of names that I didn't name, and one in particular that I didn't name to win, especially when they did the rebrand of NXT. She was one of the faces of it, and she got injured. Mm. I'm shocked Nikita Lyons is still on the roster.
Man, listen. I literally, her social platform is her living her life. Than it is her even training to get back into the ring.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'm actually super surprised at that. So I don't know. that one did not make sense. I mean, maybe because she's just maybe the shortest tenure out of the ones that got released. Maybe they're trying to get rid of the old money and keep some of the new money. I don't know.
Probably. Oh, Lola Vice. Lola Vice is also on that list of, hey, man, we tight down here in NXT. We can move some of these folks up and we straight. But Jada Parker, I mean, I don't think it'd be breaking news. I don't think it'd be breaking news what I'm about to say, but I think she's the uncrowned NXT Women's Champion. Mm. As long as they keep putting Stephanie Van Queer on that Raw TV screen and have her wrestle these people and spotlight the NXT Championship, Jada Parker is the uncrowned NXT Women's Champion, and I feel like she's going to get that joint sooner rather than later, because if they're going to move Stephanie up the Raw, if they're going to move Julia up the Raw, if they're going to move Roxanne Perez up the Raw, then, ladies and gentlemen, get ready.
Yeah.
Miss Parker about to go ahead and get that belt.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
But at the same time, it is disappointing to see some of these releases. So just like what we always ask when these releases come through, because the internet wrestling community always like to say that somebody dropped the ball on somebody. Who did the WWE drop the ball on these people that was released? Who is the people or the person that you look at this list and you say, goddamn WWE, you got it wrong. And you got to pick one. You can't say nobody. Nope, you got to pick one.
Jesus Christ. See, that's what sucks when you got to pick somebody. because the TKO Endeavor WWE engine has proven that they won't miss a beat. But you know what? What I will say is this. They probably dropped the ball on Shayna Baszler. And I say that because of how she started in NXT versus how they revamped her on the main rosters. It's wild that she didn't get an ounce of the run that she got in NXT. It almost makes me think, why? Like, why? There have been fall offs and there have been like shaky transitions, but for Shayna Baszler, hey, look, Shayna Baszler, I not throw Asuka even in the same thing, and Shinsuke. Those three, for what they were in NXT to what they ended up being on the main WWE Raw and SmackDown rosters, I'm dumbfounded by that. I would expect them to at least get one year, like the quick 365, 371 run with just an ounce of what made them the household names that they were. I mean, I honestly, Dakota Kai, I guess, again, because she's capable of big moments and great moments. But again, with the injury, I just can't say that they definitely dropped the ball. I just can't. They haven't. We unfortunately never got to see on the main roster. We never got to see Dakota Kai for a solid 6 months actively competing to be like, damn, I don't know why they did that. It's just like we were hoping for the best. We didn't really see the flash of greatness that she was shown in NXT.
I'm not gonna say Shayna Baszler because she's a champion. Right. She had a good run. She sent Ronda Rousey ass up out of here.
that's a good enough reason, right?
Yeah, she had one of the greatest, if not the greatest, elimination chamber of all time.
Oh yeah. She really I forgot about that. See, that feels like it was so long ago, but it really wasn't. It was like, what, maybe 4 years?
This wasn't long ago. So if I have to choose one on here, I'll choose Dakota Kai. I'll choose Dakota Kai on here, because I truly believe if Dakota Kai would have been the Intercontinental Champion, that belt would be looked at differently. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm with you. Lyra was looking hella decent on Monday. But
like, call the fire.
She don't scare me.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't scare me. She doesn't make me go, Man, something dangerous around here. No. Lyra doesn't. Lyra's just a bird.
Yeah. Hey, you know? Oh, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's it. Dakota Kai, to me, because of her injuries too, did not reach her full potential. When they did that whole storyline with her and old girl, when she gave her that kick in the joint, fucked up. When they had her in that joint with Raquel Rodriguez and everything. When they put her with Bailey and EO Sky, like when she was basically the mouthpiece for the Asian ladies and all of that stuff, like you gave her something, but I believe that injuries never really allowed her to get to that point. But I also believe that she should have been a multiple time NXT Women's Champion. I believe that to be the case. I mean, we basically gave our guarantees, but there was a question that I saw put up there by Russ, like the real question, who's next? I already said it. Like, as far as NXT goes, I already said it. I think Jada Parker's next. I like the group, that JC Jane, Fallon Henley, and Jasmine Nix has. Izzy Dame, I like what she's doing and stuff, too. Carmen Petrovic is somebody that I believe is probably not going to come up at the same time as the other ladies. But if I were to say who would get the Alexa Bliss situation, where Alexa Bliss was never like the top woman on NXT or NXT when she was there. However, when you look at what happened to her on the main roster, she rivals the success on some of the others. I think Carmen Petrovic could be the Alexa Bliss type of that group. Mm-hmm. Already mentioned Kalani Jordan as well, Lola Vice, Lash Legend. I feel like a big push is coming for Lash Legend. And I don't know who set it up in the chat, but hey, Naomi needs some muscle.
Yeah.
Naomi needs some muscle. And I don't know how long we gonna have Naomi on Raw or SmackDown or just. I don't know how long Naomi is going to be around in the WWE in the next couple of years. Hmm. Naomi has expressed that she expressed a couple of personal things in her life, wanting to get healthy and all of that stuff. I don't know how long Naomi got. When you see that, and when you say, hey, I wonder how many runs this wrestler got in them, you paired them with a young cat that they could groom and coach up. I would love to see Lash Legend be called up to SmackDown to be Naomi's muscle. The same way that Liv Morgan has Raquel Rodriguez as her muscle. The difference is, too, I trust Lash Legend more than I trust Raquel Rodriguez right now.
Oh, for sure.
I would love to see Lash Legend come up with Naomi, basically beat the brakes off of Jade Cargill and others and make sure, you know what I'm saying, we good out here, I'm protected, proceed with caution. That's not a guarantee. That is a guarantee hope. Lash Legend, Naomi, book it.
I dig it. I definitely took the latter part of your question, Russ. I thought you were asking who's next to be released. And this may be a shocker. This may be a shocker to me.
Wait a minute, real quick. I said I'm shocked that Nikita Lyons is not gone. So
Hey, listen. I want to say this. And I want to see black people win. I want that to be like crystal clear. But man, it's not looking good for one person. And I think if we're getting to that with late second quarter into the third quarter releases, right now I would not be surprised if Carmelo Hayes is on that list. And I am sorry to say that, especially for the, again, that NXT run that he had. Shoot, hey, listen, not for nothing, the way Tommaso Ciampa looking like somebody great-grandfather, I don't think he going to be around too much longer. Even though that was a hell of a match that they just had, but that could be the swan song of this all. He just shouldn't be looking like an old Vietnam vet out there. Like, the cameras didn't do his face any justice, and that's my man's. But no, for sure. I think the only wrestler optically that should be worried about being released, future endeavor, I think right now is Carmelo Hayes, man, and I hope he figures it out.
The only reason why I'm going to disagree with you is Aleister Black. If they, because Miz got his ass whooped by Aleister on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
If they move him into a feud with Aleister, I think it's going to be good for both wrestlers.
For sure.
However, here's my hope for NXT. Let me just throw this out here. Here's my hope for NXT. My hope for NXT is they stop becoming a feeder system.
Yeah.
My hope is for them to be a third brand. If you got WWE Evolve, then you put all of them rookie ass people down there and you make NXT to what you want it to be, which is a big major program.
Yeah.
That's my hope with what could happen. And that way, people like Melo don't have to get called up. Or about time he is called up again, like other people coming down. Like, I know that ain't going to be the case. I know that'll never be the case. But when you have WWE Evolve, that's what I hope.
Yeah.
But maybe my thing with Melo is he has to get off of Raw. I mean, SmackDown.
Right now.
I think Melo has to get in front of another camera.
Hmm.
And everything. I think there's a lot of work that can be done with Melo, but I do believe that there's too many people on SmackDown to allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's too much for that to happen. I would love to see Melo on SmackDown or go back to NXT, and again for NXT to be a situation where it's not a feeder. It is a third joint. So.
Yeah, okay.
I almost drunk this the wrong way. What the fuck? And I think Russ is right. The WWE draft is going to be very important. Matter of fact, I'll go on record as saying that this might be, based off where we're at right now in the world, this might be the most important draft since the first one.
Like, you talking about the 02 one?
Yeah, the very first draft where Vince McMahon and Ric Flair was over there picking people. Because it allowed Eddie Guerrero to get shine. It allowed Bradshaw to get shine. It allowed Bubba Ray Dudley to get shine. It allowed people, real vets and people who just needed to be solo for a minute, to get some shine. And whether good or bad. Because, yes, y'all, I am still one of those people that believe that the Deacon Devon storyline would have worked if you would have done it right.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, Reverend Devon.
Reverend
Devon. I believe it would have worked if you would have done it right and if you had the culture up in there, too, to help you out with that. I was a fan of that, Devon. Sorry. Hey, Reverend Devon, all right in my book.
You know,
I wasn't mad at it at all, especially when you was.
You know what I'm saying? Hit the bang, head bounce, hit the Bible. Right. You know, testify, warned you about the danger of a masturbation. You know what I'm saying? No, see if I was getting this shit off. Pause.
I wasn't mad at it at all, Jack. But it allowed other wrestlers to get their characters off. It allowed other people to shine. So now when you look at SmackDown, it's just a lot of stuff going on. This last episode was terrible. Raw, you got some good key pieces and stuff. I think that Dominic Mysterio needs to separate from the Judgment Day in general.
Mm.
I think it's time to put. I think it's time to get the training wheels off of Dominic Mysterio, Jack. Yeah, man. Hey. Push to the moon, but yeah. We're getting into space.
Yeah. No, you got a great point, because I mean, now it's clear people are there to see him. Yeah. Even more so than Liv at this very second. But Liv is still Liv, but Dom is Dom now.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. It's like, yo, let's run that. Like, let's get that. Let's run that. But going back to Melo, hey, you might not be wrong, fam. We might look at the second half of the year and go,
yeah,
somebody got to go.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. My vote. I mean, for a lot of these men and women, my vote do be, man, send them back to NXT. You know.
Yeah.
Because that just seems to be the better system for their light to shine. But yeah, it just does not look good for homie. And that's, I mean, and I know he won the battle royal, whatever, but I don't know. This is just, I may just be getting old, but the fact that he got Dre around his neck and they still out here doing whatever. And The Miz is usually great by himself. But the one thing about The Miz, you get your TV time, you get your moments, but then you get Future Endeavor. That's what happened to A-Rod. That's what happened to Sandow. That's what happened to his wife. So, I mean, it just don't look good if you've been watching for a while, is all I'm saying.
Dead ass. So look, man, that is it for us today. As we get close to Backlash 2025 in good old St. Louis, Missouri, which is actually next week. Yeah, it is next week. When we look at the matches real quick, it ain't a lot that's announced when this is supposed to be taking place. So I guess we can do it real quick. Let's go with Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, Damian Priest, and Drew McIntyre for the United States Championship.
Yeah.
Is it Jacob? Are you taking Jacob Fatu or are you taking the field?
No, Fatu. At least they're trying to put star power on the U.S. title, but yeah, I'm going Jacob.
Yeah, I'm going Jacob too. Pat McAfee versus Gunther. Gunther better not lose.
No, I don't think he will. I think you're going to get a little DQ battle. You know what I'm saying? I don't even think this is going to be like a decisive type of victory thing. Pat McAfee cut a really good promo, man. He cut a really good promo on Monday. But all that means to me is that you'll just lose by DQ. or you may lose by DQ, may win by DQ or double DQ, something like that. You know?
Yeah, man, Gunther gonna whoop that boy ass. Hey, matter of fact, let me do a real prediction.
Mm.
It's gonna be a no contest because Gunther's gonna whoop the shit out of Michael Cole and they're gonna stop the match.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Becky Lynch versus Lyra Valkyra for the Women's Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. Hey, listen. We already know this. I mean, hey, look, I believe Becky when she said she wasn't coming back, so I know she winning this title.
There you go. Becky Lynch is going to be the Women's Intercontinental Championship, adding to her collection of belts. John Cena, Randy Orton. John Cena.
Yeah, you know, it's weird here for me. Then don't get me wrong. I don't think it's Backlash, but I do think we see Randy versus Cena one more time in an effort to get Randy his 15th title, but also to turn Cena back face. But I don't think it's going to happen here, though. So I will pick Cena at Backlash, for sure.
Yeah, Cena's winning at Backlash. This is a celebration of two OGs. I hope that they don't put Jey Uso and Logan Paul on this card. Put that shit on a Saturday night's main event or something like that.
Yeah. But
yeah, please don't. All right, my man. Shit. Well, great show today, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. Camp End is off.
Yes, man. We appreciate y'all sincerely for checking out this episode of the First Black Champ Podcast, man. I love the roasting session to start off this show. Yeah. We should probably make that the thing amongst our listeners. You know what I'm saying? That is a great, unexpected addition to the FBC community that I'm totally here for. I did not expect it.
Hey, man, next thing you know, Banks is going to be asking us questions like, man, who was your favorite wrestler from the 60s?
Yeah, like, bro, it's like, do you realize I got to ask somebody else?
Like, who was the better world champion, Bob Backlund or Bruno Sammartino?
Hey, but make no mistake, though, all of your comments, your questions, your roasting sessions, rumor and innuendo, everything that you contribute to the community makes it that much special. So we do sincerely and humbly thank you for doing just that. And always know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, that you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. That's the pick with the VPDOC. We are out. Shout to Buddy Rogers, but fuck Johnny Wrestling.